On the bridge, Kailara looked at the faces around her and wondered briefly if she looked as pale and haggard as they did. Probably, she decided.
Here's what's happening. We haven't yet regained control of the drive, so we're still accelerating to some place we don't want to be. The ship's ID beacon seems to be non-functioning as well. So not only can we not get back, but no one can find us without very good active long scan. And the only people in the system with very good active long scan are somewhere else. The good news is that the environmental system is still working, so we have air to breathe and water to drink. The food supply, though, at our present rate of usage, will run out in 5 days. Rationing can do something about that, but not enough to give us a lot of leeway, and we have no idea when someone may find us. Our own scan is still working, but it's not that great, as you all know. It's very likely that ISC or someone else will come into the system before we starve, but they won't know we're here if our beacon isn't up. So beacon repair has to be a priority.
I don't know anything about beacons. They're another sealed system. Users aren't supposed to tinker with them.
Well, Payson did. And unless we can figure out how to undo what he did, we're about as visible as coal dust at midnight.
There are 2 comm engineers among the passengers.
I hope we don't have to trust them.
Why did Payson disable the beacon anyway? That's what I don't understand.
To hide us from the mercs. He wanted to get away, right?
But he'd been told they were already headed out system. He must have had some other reason.
It doesn't matter why he did it. What matters is we can't undo it.
We haven't undone it yet. I'm going to talk to the passengers and tell them why they're not getting lunch. Mitt, figure out what you need to do to cope with stretching our survival time, with less outside caloric input.
They're going to complain.
If they complain, I will space them. Damn it, without them we could last another 20 days easy.
Kai turned to Aline, who had scarcely spoken since Gary died.
Aline, what's the minimum for survival? We'll need to cut ourselves down 1/3, probably, but we'll cut them to the minimum. And then tell me what that gains us.
While Aline worked on that, Kai went to talk to the passengers. She used the intercom. She wasn't risking anything this time.
You need to know what the situation is. Payson disabled the in-system drive controls, so we have not been able to gain control of the drive and retrace our course. Payson also disabled the ID beacon, so the ship is now invisible to most scans. Your leader ensured that you, as well as we, would go hurtling off to the far reaches of the system and that no rescue vessel was likely to find us. My crew is attempting to fix that, but as most of you know, ID beacons are sealed systems, not intended to be manipulated by the user. Unlike Payson and his assistant, my crew has no experience in such illegal activities. That means that our original supply of foodstuffs will not suffice us, even if a rescue ship were to show up. So I am instituting survival rules now. My crew goes on reduced rations, you go on minimal rations. I will still try to get you all out of this alive, but believe me that at this point, if any one of you fails to cooperate fully or attempts to contravene my orders, that person will be spaced. No excuses. Now, Captains Lucas and Opuntz, you will come to the number 1 cargo personnel lock, where my crew will pass you through to confer with me.
She didn't wait to hear their reaction, but went back to the galley, where Aline was working on the rations.
47 of them, 13 of us, that's 60. But the rations loaded were for 65. So we have 65 times 5, which is 325 day rations, providing a minimum of 2,400 kcal per day, which is 780,000 kcal total. How long do you estimate we'll have to live off this, Captain?
Damned if I know was the real answer, but not a useful one.
At least 10 days. 20 if we can eke it out that far.
Aline fiddled with the hand comp.
Well, at 10 days, that's 1,300 kcal per day, which is just above basal metabolism. People will lose a little weight, but not much. 20 is 650 kcal per day, which is seriously low. Crew won't be able to work well like that. Now, if you put 13 people at 1,200, as low as you'd want to go and expect any kind of functionality, that's 15,600 per day, and 47 people at 600. That could give us 17 days. Crew efficiency shouldn't drop much, but the passengers will be just barely making it.
We'll try that. Is there going to be any problem with water? Does changing the diet that much affect recycling efficiency or anything?
No, water's not the limiting factor, nor is air. Just food.
There's one more thing. I'll donate my great-aunt's fruitcakes. 3 of them, each an easy 2 kilos. I don't know what their caloric value is, but you can chew on a piece for a long, long time.
Some people like fruitcake.
Those people can eat it. And I'll bet they never had my aunt's fruitcake.
Scan was empty. Kai would have been glad to see any ship, but none appeared. Her stomach growled. So far, nothing they'd done to the ship's beacon made it work. They were still receding from Sabine Prime as a ghost ship. On anyone else's scan, they would show up only as an object in motion. The thought occurred then that some other ship might also be moving out here with no beacon. That was not comforting. It was too easy to run into what you didn't know existed. Day after day. She had never been hungry that long in her life, and it was worse for her passengers. The only good thing about being that hungry was that she couldn't sleep, because sleep brought the nightmares. Gary's eyes staring into hers the moment before he died. The smell of blood and death, the terror. Icons appeared on the screen all at once. 6 ships, all identified as ISC. Kai tried to estimate range, but this far out from Prime, she had no ranging model. An hour later, another 4 ships appeared on scan. She had no way to tell if they were an actual hour behind the first group, or had entered the system a light hour farther from her. These also carried an ISC beacon.
Well, our rescue is here, if we can get their attention.
Kai looked around at the bridge crew, who looked like she felt. Nobody cheered.
They may or may not know about us, but either way, it would be helpful to be able to talk to them. We have got to figure out a way to generate a signal out of this system.
We need a real comm tech.
We have real comm techs among our passengers, but can we trust them?
Offer them a real meal.
He hadn't liked the fruitcake either. Aline kept insisting it wasn't so bad, but they had cut up only 2 of them.
Well, that might make them sabotage it. Still, it's in their interest to cooperate. The sooner we're found, the sooner we can feed everyone. I suppose I'd better go talk to them.
Not alone. You can't go in there alone.
No, I know that. Mihar, Bia, you'll come with me. Bring the pistol bows. Look fierce.
They looked more grumpy than fierce. She hoped that would suffice. The captives, seated on the deck, looked pale and miserable. She hated herself for that, but at least they were all alive. Except Pazin, Christofsen, and Pazin's mate.
Here's the situation. ISC just dropped a fleet into the system. They can't come help us, however, because Pazin and his little clique disabled our beacon, and we haven't been able to fix it. That puts our chance of rescue pretty low. On active scan, we'll show up as a dead ship, unless someone comes in really close, and they probably have other priorities. It could be weeks before they find us, if they do, and the rations run out in another few days. So if one of you has the expertise to fix the beacon, this would be a good time to tell me. And do that job honestly.
They stared back at her as if she'd spoken to them in an alien language.
We really are running out of rations? You're not just punishing us.
That was a short, balding man toward the back of the group.
No. Why would I do that? You weren't all in on it anyway, and making you hungry wouldn't be the way to make you friendly. Pazin and company did us all a bad turn. I don't know what his plan was.
I do.
Kai felt a prickle down her backbone.
And you are?
I was his number 2 comm officer. You killed the number 1. I wasn't supposed to be in on it, but he knew all about the Ansible attacks. He wasn't about to wait around here until ISC showed up.
Where did he think he could go in a ship like this with no FTL drive?
The man looked even paler. His skin glistened in the lights as those around him turned to look at him.
I don't think I should say.
You'd better say, Corson, or we'll break your stupid neck. If you get us killed...
And you are?
Hemphurst, first officer of Balkness Bright Eyes. Idiots have caused enough trouble. Corson, you cooperate or else.
Payson will... or his group will... get me if I tell.
Well, they aren't here, and I am. I don't want to die of starvation because you're scared they'll come after you. If you're already dead, what difference does it make?
Corson looked around nervously.
What? You think some of them are here?
I don't know. I don't think so. But there's still people from our crew and the Empress. But what if one of them...
Tell what you know, Corson, or I'll kill you, and then we'll have one more ration.
All right. All right. I don't know all of it. But I do know the Marie wasn't the only ship Payson had in system. Why the Mercs didn't find the other, I don't know. It must have been stealth somehow. But anyway, Payson was regional boss for the Barenta gang. Posed as an ordinary trader, had a respectable history as cover. He had some kind of deal with the government here. The only people he was afraid of were ISC. He knew about the Ansible attack, who did it, and why. And the Empress Rose was in on it too. Christofferson was one of them. Nobody ever suspected anything of a passenger ship from a line like that. And he was going to rendezvous with his other ship, change the beacon on this one, put an FTL drive in it, and...
kill us all. He was a damn pirate, in other words.
Kind of.
Which means you're a pirate.
No, I'm not. I found out something when I was on Empress, and they grabbed me and threatened me and then stuck me on Marie. There wasn't anything I could do. They watched me all the time. I was just like a prisoner.
So what do you know about beacons? Do you know how to fix them?
I don't know. I know some things to try.
Then you had better try them. Hemphurst is not the only one willing to kill you if you don't cooperate.
Kai met Hemphurst's gaze. He nodded at her.
And as for the rest of you, anyone else have any expertise in this area?
A woman on the far side stepped forward.
Comtech Sovert Asperger? I don't know what's been done to the beacon, but I have done beacon maintenance. I might be able to help.
Good. You too, then.
Corson and Sovert made an odd pair, Kai thought, as she escorted them back through the maintenance passages with Mihar and Bia close behind them. Corson, so clearly nervous about retaliation from Payson's people, and Sovert, despite the effects of hunger, eager to get to work. At the access hatch, Kai stopped them.
Here, before you go to work, have some lunch.
It was only a sandwich apiece and a thin slice of fruitcake.
If we can make contact and get an ETA for help, I'll know whether I can treat everyone.
Thanks, Captain.
Engineer Chalk and Environmental Tech Mihar will keep an eye on you.
Gerard Vada looked up from the midweek meeting he was chairing. His implant was tickling his nervous system insistently.
Excuse me a moment.
Jerry, it's Louis Parmina at ISC.
Yes?
Jerry, our people went in-system at Sabine about 7 hours ago, and your daughter's ship is not there anymore.
Gerard turned away from the table, from the faces that were searching his own for meaning.
Not there?
No. The story we got from the Mercs who came out, and from other Civ ships, is that they interned captains and officers on your ship. Your daughter was fine then. They made a contract with her. We forwarded a copy they showed us to your offices.
Gerard noted, but didn't comment on that slight hesitation. Alive would have done. Fine could be defined variably. Contract. He motioned to one of the assistants hovering around the main table, scribbled, "New contract, Mackenzie and Vada, just in, bring it." The assistant stepped back with the glazed expression that meant he was querying by implant.
Apparently, they disabled the FTL drive, or it wasn't working, or something. So the ship was expected to be in-system on a particular ballistic course. Its beacon was working. They'd loaded additional rations and supplies and so on to cope with the additional passengers. We found the cargo.
Cargo?
The cargo your ship had been carrying. Ag equipment. It was put outside the ship, netted, separately beaconed with a copy of the relevant contract, because the cargo holds were converted to hold the passengers.
What the dickens was Kai doing carrying ag equipment anyway?
She'd set off with a cargo of mixed trade goods. One corner of Gerard's mind quickly put together a first stop at Belinta, a relatively young colony, and Sabine, known for its ag equipment in this region. He turned back to the table, waved, mouthed later, and left the room heading for his office. The rest of his mind stayed with Parmina, absorbing every word.
The contract states she had picked it up on consignment for the Belinta Economic Development Bureau. It was found on the course the Mercs told us to check, right where the ship should have been. And the ship wasn't there. There were old traces of drive usage. Apparently she turned on the in-system drive sometime after the Mercs departed the system. But without a beacon trace, none of the scans in the system picked it up. Now, we have no idea where she went or why the beacon didn't show on anyone's scan.
That can't be good.
No. Jerry, I'm sorry. I really hate having to tell you this.
Don't apologize. I can't thank you enough for telling me this much. A drive signature. At least that's not an explosion. I don't know what it means, but there's a chance.
We'll keep looking. The primary mission has to be restoring Ansible communication and ensuring the security of our people and equipment, but then...
Do you have an estimate on that?
We'll have a skeleton system up for non-public and emergency communications within another couple of days. Very limited bandwidth. Rebuilding the platforms for full commercial usage will take much longer. How long, we won't know until we examine the wreckage and find out if any of the other power units are usable. And we need to find out how it was done, how they destroyed them.
But you're in communication with your people there now?
Spike Ansible, yes, but we can't give anyone else access to that. I have put Kai's name in a Priority 1 bin, though. We've also made it clear to Mackenzie that your daughter's welfare is very important to us. If anyone there hears from her, or via any of our Ansibles, our security personnel have been directed to pass it straight up to me. You'll have the news as soon as I do.
Thanks, Lou. I know you have a lot more on your mind than one little trading ship.
Well, the whole Sabine situation is non-standard enough that I'd be glad of some good neutral input. The Mercs are upset, the Sabine government is upset, no one's claiming responsibility for the Ansible attack, and now that ship disappearing, it's not just a simple bit of sabotage anymore. I have my own reasons for wanting to find that ship, as well as our friendship.
You aren't thinking that Kai was involved?
No, of course not. I don't think she blew the Ansibles. For one thing, there's good scan data from before the attack to show that she was docked at Prime's orbital station. She did undock without permission after the Ansibles were hit, but other ships did that too. The orbital station was the next logical target. But ships don't just disappear like that, Jerry. You and I both know that ship beacons are sealed systems, intended to work unless completely vaporized. And vaporized ships don't have a drive path signature. Now, something weird was going on, with her ship as well as the whole system.
Well, I appreciate your help, Lou.
I'll let you know as soon as we hear anything else. As for general business, I'd say it would be safe to schedule deliveries and pickups within 7 to 10 days. We won't have public systems back up by then, but surveillance will be full on. Gotta go, Jerry. We're up to our armpits and alligators.
Stavros was in the doorway.
So, is she all right?
I don't know. That was Lou Parmina at ISC. They're in the system. They have eyewitness and other records that show she was there, and she was alive and well up to the point where the Mercs left the system. She was just coasting along, ballistic, full of passengers with her cargo netted outside. And then the beacon went off. There's in-system drive residue, and she's nowhere to be found.
That doesn't make sense. If she was being pursued, she might wish the beacon were off, but I don't have a clue how to turn one off, and I doubt she did. And why didn't she jump out of that mess? She's got a perfectly good FTL drive.
Apparently not. I'm not clear on when it was disabled, or by whom, but all she seems to have is in-system drive. What she also has is contracts. One with Belinta to deliver ag equipment.
Which explains why she was on Sabine instead of almost to Lastway.
Yes. The other is with the Mercs, for carrying the passengers they assigned her. The officers of the other ships they interned temporarily. We have a copy of that, via the Mackenzie Military Assistance Corporation and the ISC. I haven't looked at it yet.
He checked the latest deliveries and found it.
Here we are. Standard passenger rates for 10 days passage on an assigned course, which is the same as that which the Mercs gave the ISC, and on which the cargo was found.
And binding on the firm, then?
Gerard winced. If Vada Transport took over those contracts, it would be an admission that Kai was dead. And yet their reputation rested on prompt, complete service.
We can't do anything about the passengers. Not until the ship shows up. But we can reassure Belinta that they will get their cargo, though it may be somewhat delayed.
And send someone to pick it up in space or reorder?
Let's look at the routings. Wait a second.
Gerard had come to the last part of Mackenzie's message to ISC about the ship and its captain.
They say she no longer has a Vada implant? What can that mean?
How would they know unless they removed it themselves? She must have been their prisoner.
Gerard would not faint. He would not panic. It would do no good. And she had been, alive, and might still need him.
Routings.
Together, they called up the present positions and routings of all the Vada ships within two jumps of Sabine's system. Nothing that would work easily, nothing that wouldn't break other commitments. Katrine Lamont was closest.
We'll do it. I'll get in touch with Furman. He knows her, I think. Wasn't he captain when she was on that apprentice trip?
Gerard looked at the schedules.
I think so. If I ship today on a fast courier, I can send her a replacement implant. And that stack of mail waiting for her. Furman can pick that up at... where's he gonna be? Delian 2. Tight, but he can wait for it. We'd still want to confirm that Sabine's stable before we send him in.
The beacon's capsule lay open, its components spread on the deck.
There's a piece missing.
He must have taken it. Payson must have taken it out so he could put it in later.
Or destroyed it. We know he destroyed part of the in-system drive control linkage.
It's small. He could just stick it in his pocket. It's about like this?
Sauvert pointed at another piece, a slender cylinder about a finger long.
A number 5 inducer.
You're sure it's missing?
Yes, Captain, I'm sure.
And I am too. Everything else looks fine. There's no sign of anything wrong but the missing part.
Something about the shape tickled Kai's memory. She had seen that shape before, but not in the beacon. She'd never looked inside the beacon case.
Did you, search the bodies after you shot them?
No. She had had other priorities, like getting the ship back under control and the rest of the hostages safely locked into the cargo holds again.
It might be still in his clothes.
Well, that's a problem. We don't have the bodies.
You spaced them?
I had cargo holds full of you folks, some of you hostile, and a ship to get under control, and no spare space anywhere. I couldn't just stick them in the cooler with the rations.
Maybe he dropped it somewhere. Or maybe he gave it to someone who doesn't realize what it is.
Maybe.
Kai felt certain that it was in one of Payson's pockets, and the dead pirate was mocking her still. But that wasn't where she'd seen something like that part.
Where was it? What kind of marks would it have on it?
Marks?
Any way to identify it? Stripes or something?
Kai waved at the disassembled beacon. Some of those parts had color-coding stripes or numbers.
Sure.
Sauvert and Corson glanced at each other.
It depends on the manufacturer, but basically it'll have a number and a stripe, probably purple. You don't have a parts store that might have it, do you?
No. But I know I've seen that shape aboard.
Kai frowned. Something was tugging her toward her cabin, a memory too vague to be recognizable. It couldn't hurt to follow the hunch.
I'll be back.
In her cabin, she stood still, trying not to think, not to interfere with whatever memory was trying to find its way to the surface. Nothing showed on the surface but the stains from the cleanup after the death. No handy part lay in the middle of the floor, or her bunk, or her desk. The shelves to either side of her desk held only the cube reader and one rack of cubes. The desk drawer had her captain's log and its stylus. She pulled open the locker under her bunk, where the brightly wrapped fruitcakes had been stowed. One remained. She hoped they wouldn't have to cut into that one. So far, no one had dared complain about the flavor, but Kai still preferred to donate her share to others.
No way Payson could have accidentally dropped the part here, but what if he hid it or had someone hide it for him? Wouldn't he have chosen the captain's cabin?
It still didn't make sense, the timing of it. He had not had time to disable the beacon and hide a part in her cabin. She knew that. She had been in her cabin when they discovered the beacon wasn't working. She had confronted him too soon after that.
But something's here.
She started with the lockers over her bunk, where she found that things were not quite as she remembered.
Of course!
The Mercs would have searched the cabin and simply shoved things back in, and she'd been too busy since to come in and reorganize. Entertainment and study cubes, clothes folded not quite as neatly as she'd left them. Behind them was a box, somewhat bent. The model. The spaceship model. She remembered now having shoved it to the back herself. Kai pulled the box out. When she opened it, a folded note was on top of broken parts. Sorry, the note said. Needle got it. This is most of the pieces. The needle round had not reduced the model to its component parts, quite. Some of the assembly was still there. Kai laid the pieces on her bunk, wondering where the round had hit. Obvious when she laid them in order. And there it was. No purple stripe, but molded into the gray cylindrical shape which the assembly directions had told her was a missile, was one 5-239-684. The other missiles were beige. Cold chills ran up and down her back. The meaning of MacRobert's cryptic little note suddenly seemed clear. He had, for whatever reason, given her parts to a beacon of some kind, and she had been too stupid to recognize them. Kai grabbed the whole box and raced back down the passage to where Corson and Sauvert were slumped against the bulkhead, contemplating the guts of the beacon. Kai held out the little cylinder.
Is this what you're looking for?
Looks like it. Let me see.
Sauvert took it, turned it, peered at the inscription.
Yeah, that's it. Where did you find it?
In a model kit.
Kai put the box down.
Either of you know what the rest of this stuff is?
Sauvert leaned over the box. She pushed the parts around with her finger.
Model kit? That's nothing. Nor that, but this, and this, and that bit there. All that's the makings of a small pin beacon. A shouter. I don't know if you've got all of it. Are there any more pieces?
There were, but it was in the way when the Mercs shot up my cabin.
I didn't know about that.
You weren't aboard then. Someone we'd picked up off the docks at Prime, someone from home, went crazy and tried to fight with the Mercs. They shot him. So, anything more we can use to fix this beacon?
Let's just see what this piece does. If it works, the beacon should work. If it doesn't, we have some more bits to try, at least.
Reassembling the beacon took another 2 hours, but even before they closed the case, Lee reported from the bridge that their passive scan showed the beacon on.
Only problem is, it's not our ID.
What do you mean, not our ID?
It says we're the Mist Harbor, serial number XWT34693 out of Broadman Station. I'd guess that scumsucker changed the ID so when he put the part back in, no one would find us.
And nobody will recognize us for who we are unless we can change it back.
Kai looked at Sauvert and Corson.
Can you change it back?
What he probably did was change out the chip. That's what he did on the other...
Kai suspected that her own face had the same expression as Sauvert's, a mix of horror and fury.
It's not my fault. I didn't want to do it. It was Payson. He was the captain. I had to.
Did you know he'd changed out the chip on this one?
No. I swear I didn't. I didn't even know he had one with him. I wouldn't have thought he could, with the Mercs just about pushing us out of our ship and into their shuttle. Do you have a spare ship chip? I can change it back.
I don't know.
Kai had not ever thought about it. Beacons came with ships already sealed. Sauvert pointed to a little piece in the box.
There's a chip. Where'd you get this anyway?
I don't know if it's ours. In the meantime, Corson, since you seem to know so much about how Payson operated, what would he have done to our in-system drive?
I don't know anything about drives. I really don't.
Even a fake ID ought to get someone's attention. And if I can fix your transmitter...
That would certainly help. I'm not at all sure what this chip is. It was in this box of model parts, as you can see, so I'm reluctant to put it in. At least this way, someone can get us on scan. Give us a way to talk to them, and we'll be a lot better off.
Who is Mist Harbor?
The chief scan tech on ISC's bulbous command ship turned to look at the watch officer.
Dunno. Just showed up. But there's no downjump signature.
Anything running around with no beacon is probably part of the problem. We have a missing ship, and now we have an extra ship. Let's get a distance, heading, and mass reading on that and see if it answers us. If we have one ship that's been running silent, there may be more. How's the system catalog coming?
We have the data from Prime's orbital station. We're using that as a baseline and plotting against it. So far, no anomalies, but we're only 32% complete. We wouldn't have found this ship for another 2 or 3 hours. At a rough guess, it's 4 to 6 light minutes away, judging by the signal strength.
Commit another 2 units and speed it up. You want Ganges to sight some additional spindles for it?
That would help. Real-time scans like that would cut it by half at least.
I'll talk to him.
The scan chief turned back to his board, allocated 2 more computing units to the system catalog, and then increased the power on the active scan beam. 2 hours later, he knew that the Mist Harbor was in the same mass range as the missing Glennis Jones, that she was 6.1 light minutes away, not under power, and did not answer a hail. The ISC specialty ship Ganges, having dropped 4 spindle lanceables in remote reaches of the system, was able to get real-time data from them.
Well, that's interesting. Not only is Mist Harbor the same general size as our Miss Invada ship, but there are 2 other ships out there, Lion Doggo. One's here.
The Scantech pointed as the watch officer came up beside him.
And one there. I do like that fine resolution scan we added.
A year ago, we wouldn't have spotted them. Nice work. I'll pass the word up. Wonder if that is the Glennis Jones and she was captured by the bad guys. Doesn't look good for Vada if that's true.
One of the junior techs waved for the chief's attention.
Sir, Mist Harbor's beacon is gone. No, there it is. Look at it.
The beacon icon blinked on and off, in a rhythm not quite regular.
Power failure? Fuel expended?
No, sir. I'd bet my next raise it's a signal code of some kind. There are dozens of those blinker codes on various planets. This one's from... What did the registration say?
Assume it's the Vada ship from Slaughter Key. Can we translate it?
Without translating it, it's got to mean that their transmission capability is gone and they're trying to signal. Which doesn't tell us who's in control.
At least whoever's looking knows a ship is here. They may not care about the Mist Harbor, but they're bound to care that a ship appeared out of nowhere with no downjump turbulence. Someone will come investigate.
In time?
We may be very hungry, but we'll be alive, I'm sure.
What if one of Payson's ships gets to us first?
Why would they? ISC is here in force. Their best move is to lie low or go away quickly.
They think Payson's on the ship. He's their commander. He'd be trying to rendezvous. When they don't hear from him, they'll come looking.
Honor among thieves, eh? I don't believe it. I think they'll run off or stay hidden.
You don't understand how they work.
Are you going to explain or just complain? Either get busy helping Solvert fix the transmitter, or I'll have you escorted back to the others.
Corson looked scared and bent to his work. But a half hour later, he shook his head.
Can't be done.
He's right. The problem here is mechanical as well as parts missing. Things have been bent, ripped.
So he didn't plan on using our transmitter. He was more interested in preventing any of us from calling for help. He did plan on using the beacon. How was he going to signal his other ships? The ship chip change. The signal to his allies is the change in the beacon. They would figure that only he could get it back on and change to that ID. So basically, we've just been telling them to come and get us.
That's what I meant. They could be out there right now.
We'd see them on scan, wouldn't we?
Not if their beacons are off. Though if they're close enough, we might get them on active. He probably left active scan working for close maneuvering. And he probably also had a small transmitter on him for the same purpose. Something that would work within a kilometer or so.
We need to let the ISC know who and where we are and what's happened. What if we switch the beacon on and off? They'd pay attention to that, surely.
So would Payson's people.
Yes, that's a risk. But the way I see it, they're going to be after us anyway. Quincy.
Yes, Captain.
How well do you know that old code they used in the war? And do you think anyone in the ISC knows it?
Probably. ISC has a database and a half, but I don't. Best thing is to just count out letters. They've got the processing power to decode something that simple.
Again, maybe too late for us. But at least someone will have the facts as we know them. And I can tell Dad to send someone to Belinta with our cargo.
Cargo? You're worried about cargo at a time like this?
It's a contract. Vada honors contracts.
Kai could tell by Corson's face that he had no comprehension at all, but her own crew nodded. It was easier this time to crack the cover on the beacon unit, and this time Kai knew exactly which piece to jiggle to disable and enable the beacon. Unfortunately, that still meant wriggling into the cramped compartment in an awkward position that she knew would make her neck and back hurt. She wanted the beacon connected to its running power system. She tested it, sending the ages-old 333 distress signal, which Lee easily picked up on their own scan equipment. In the meantime, Quincy had written down a simple letter number list.
It works in principle. Now for a message.
Kai scribbled down the simplest thing she could. The ship's name, her name, the number of personnel aboard.
Read that to me, one letter at a time. Have Lee check that that's what I actually send.
It seemed to take a long time to work through that first simple message, and Kai realized that she should have had someone else do that while she composed a longer one with more details. She wriggled back out and turned to Sovert.
Repeat that message, and I'll be working on more.
Back on the bridge, she glanced at the scan. An ISC beacon was closer now, but she had no way to tell how close. No odd beacons, so if Payson did have stealth ships in the system, They weren't revealing themselves yet.
Can ISC pick them up?
Kai shook her head. She had a lot to tell the ISC or whoever got her message, and it needed to be concise and clear. Glennis Jones, Captain K. Vada, boarded by members of the Mackenzie Military Assistance Corporation, contracted with MMAC to care for passengers. Strike passengers. Captains and senior officers of other civilian ships interned by MMAC. Arlie Pazin, Captain of Marie, mutinied, destroyed transmitter, damaged beacon, accused as pirate by former crew, stealth ships in system, involved in Ansible attack. Jake Christofsen, Captain of Empress Rose, with Pazin. One crew dead, three mutineers dead. Rations low. In-system drive inoperable. Kai handed that to Quincy for Sauver to transmit. Minutes passed. She watched as the outgoing message came up, letter by letter, on her desk. While it was still in progress, the first response came in.
Ship with beacon missed harbor, now claiming identity Glennis Jones. Explain discrepancy in ship ID and passenger totals. Mackenzie Military Assistance Corporation reported total personnel aboard plus three to your number.
I just answered that. What's that put us, about six lights away?
Yep, but I think they're closing. They've got something that can micro-jump. I think we might make it after all.
I wish I knew where Pazin's ships were.
Kai went on with more information. A list of personnel aboard and their original ship assignment. A brief statement of her own contracts with Belinta and the Mackenzie Military Assistance Corporation. The course they'd been on when they dumped cargo. The beacon ID of that cargo. A more detailed accounting of events aboard, starting with their departure from Prime's orbital station. She was uncomfortably aware that Pazin's ships could be listening in and might choose to avenge the death of their boss. If Corson was telling the truth, something she wasn't sure about. More responses came in from the ISC ship as they received the messages. Questions mostly, many of them she could not answer. Who had Pazin's local system contacts been? She had no idea. How long had Pazin been in the system? She didn't know. How long had he and Christofsen been connected? She didn't know that either. Did she know if the Imperial Space Lines was implicated in that connection? Of course she didn't. Had she questioned everyone concerned? Had she had autopsies performed on the deceased crew and passengers?
They'll be asking if I filled out some form in quadruplicate next. They should have a list from the mercenaries of who was put aboard and already know that forensic pathologist is not one of the specialties listed. Of course we didn't do autopsies. We know exactly what killed them. I killed them.
That question didn't show up for another hour, during which they asked a host of other questions Kai couldn't answer. She hoped they'd start offering her some useful information soon, such as when they planned to intercept and remove her passengers, something like that.
I wonder who that is.
Kai looked at the long scan display, where two new beacons had lit up.
That's an odd place to downjump into. What's the downjump turbulence give us?
No downjump turbulence. It's like he was running quiet, beacon off, and then turned it on.
Like us, in fact. And we know who else in the system can manipulate beacons.
Going to warn them?
The ISC will have figured it out on their own. Still, we can tell them what we suspect.
Kai scribbled out another message and sent it down for the others to transmit. With the ISC in the system, she was reasonably sure they wouldn't be left to starve. But she still had a ship full of passengers and not enough food.
Another arrival, if it is an arrival.
That one was clearly a downjump transition, the scan blurry and finally steadying to show the now familiar Mackenzie beacons. Gerard Vada was in the shower when his skull phone went off. He turned off the water and answered. It had to be high priority.
Jerry, we located your daughter Kai and she's alive.
Oh.
Gerard leaned on the shower wall and blinked hard to steady his vision.
She's had some problems. We don't know the whole story yet, but she's fine, and the ship's still whole. I'm sure you'll want to send someone. Have you already ordered a ship in?
Yes, Furman with Katrine Lamont is closest. He'll be there in a day or so, if I've got the jump span right. Are the Ansibles back up?
No, and won't be for days. Whoever blew them did a thorough job. We'll put in narrow channel emergencies, but only for official use. At least we've got more bandwidth than pinbeams now, but not much. Look, it's irregular, but will you accept a credit line for her until your ship gets there? We've frozen monetary transfers in and out of the system and between planets for the present. We can have our lawyers talk to yours tomorrow, but I thought you'd want to know now.
Thanks. Yes, I will accept it. Whatever she needs, Vada will stand for it.
Gerard knew he had to tell the rest of the family. He turned the water back on, finished his shower, and came light-footed out to dress. Myris, sipping breakfast tea, turned at his footsteps.
You heard something? Something about Kai?
She's alive. All I know for now, but it's enough.
Stavros?
Doesn't know yet. I'm about to call.
Normally, Gerard hated using the skull phone for calls out. He swore it made his sinuses buzz. But this was special. Kai knew that the rescue operation would be neither simple nor quick, but she had not expected to spend another 3 days nibbling minimal rations. A ship had to match course with theirs. They had to contrive a way to move people and equipment between the ships. And worst of all was the slow, inefficient spelling out of every communication with the beacon. She had the crew taking turns at the improvised transmitter, but they all had painful backs and shoulders by now. She was told that the chase ship was only 9 hours away.
Send one person with transmitter.
Not top priority. What's the condition of your passengers?
Hungry, weak, cranky. What do they expect?
Capable of half-hour EVA and pressure suit?
No, of course not. They've been too hungry for too long.
Kylara sent no and wished she had a code for an exclamation point. Finally, she had the message they were all longing for.
Prepare to receive relief party with medical assistance and rations.
This whole thing of standing around waiting for boarding parties was getting old. Kai knew she should be grateful for the rescue, but what she felt was not gratitude. She tried to tell herself it was just the natural effect of fatigue and hunger, perfectly ordinary physical causes for irritability, but she knew it went deeper than that. She had set off on what could have been a boring routine trip or a grand adventure, and here she was being rescued like some twit in a story who hadn't had the sense to stay out of trouble. Conscience was a wonderful thing, except at times like this. They operated the exterior hatch. By now it worked smoothly, and Kai was surprised to see that the pressure indicator dropped only slightly. The two people who came into the chamber wore only light pressure suits, hoods pushed back. One of them was Master Sergeant Pitt. She opened the inner hatch at Pitt's signal.
Mercenaries? Why the mercenaries?
She'd expected a civilian rescue team.
We've got a transfer launch tube to your hatch, Captain Vada. Should make it easier. Permission to come aboard?
Kai did not point out that they already were aboard and nodded. Pitt came into the little antechamber.
We've got rations enough to last you until we reach the orbital station. Anyone's in bad enough shape, we can take them now. How are they doing?
The live ones are fine.
So some of them died. How'd that happen?
I guess they didn't tell you. The captain and first officer of Marie and the captain of the Empress Rose were involved in piracy and working with whoever blew the Ansible platforms. They tried to mutiny when you folks left the system. That's why we've got the wrong beacon ID and how our in-system drive went off.
And here I thought you'd decided to head for home on your own. Here, let's get the comtech and transmitter aboard while you tell me.
Pitt signaled, and a man carrying an equipment case edged past them.
To the bridge with him?
Sure.
So how did they manage that?
It took Kai a moment to realize what she was talking about.
Tapped into the ship's data lines and subverted the AI. I'd been afraid of something like that, but we didn't have any way to secure the system against people who knew what they were doing. Too many of them, too few of us, and no real way to isolate them from everything.
I suppose this is payback for the trouble the first time.
Huh?
ISC must have told our commander all that, but nobody told me. Command wasn't overly thrilled with me for mishandling that first boarding. This must be their idea of a joke.
Kai hadn't thought of it that way.
So, what did you do?
When the ship took off suddenly? Well, I had to stop the mutiny. Paisen, Marie's captain, had a member of my crew hostage and was threatening to kill him unless I surrendered the ship to him.
Of course you wouldn't do that.
I didn't, but why are you so sure?
You're not the type. Military trained, even though you hadn't seen action, you wouldn't fall for that. How many did you lose?
Only the one.
Only the one, but the one she'd known all her life, the one her father had trusted to keep her safe.
I had only the pistol bows, Mihar's target kit. I'd been practicing just in case. Pazin and his mate and a few others had knives. The mate had Gary. They had a mob behind them, so I shot them.
Suddenly, Kai wanted to tell Pitt all about it, get a veteran's response to it.
They killed Gary. I killed the leaders. The rest weren't that eager.
Good job, Captain. Now let's get the rations aboard, okay?
Why is Mackenzie doing this?
ISC. Proof of good faith. They still aren't convinced we had nothing to do with the Ansible attack, even with what you said. Or so they say. I think they're just being punitive myself. But nobody argues with ISC.
So I've heard. Well, what about those rations, then?
Right, Captain. If you'll go to the galley and have someone ready to direct stowage, I'll stay here and direct the transfer.
Up in the crew rec space, her crew waited, all but the two on the bridge. They stared at her as she came in.
It's all right. They're about to transfer rations over to us, and we can start feeding you right away. Lee, you're in charge of stowage of the rations.
The first person in, however, was not carrying ration packs, but a bright orange medical kit.
I need to assess physical condition and advise you on refeeding schedules to minimize problems. Do you have records of how much and what you were feeding?
Yes, but why do we need that?
Because refeeding after prolonged starvation or below subsistence feeding can be tricky. I'll need to check everyone individually for metabolic variations and then make out a program. If we're lucky, we'll only have two or three main groups to worry with. Spacers come from so many different places, though, with so many different metabolic quirks.
You can't ask people to starve another day or so while you work this out.
No, of course not. But the first refeeding must be small and bland. Small meals and frequent is the best for everyone, especially in the next week. And especially since your environmental system is operating near its limits. The last thing you need is 24 bouts of diarrhea.
Beyond him, troopers were bringing in dollies of ration packs. Lee was showing them where to put things in storage.
But what can I have the crew fix now, right away? We have 40-odd very hungry passengers.
I'll check your crew first, and then them. Let's start with you. Planet of origin?
Slaughter Key. I'm fine. You don't have to worry about me.
If the captain goes down, the ship goes down. Put your finger in this.
The medic held out a fat cylinder with a hole in one end, studded with buttons. Kai put her finger in.
When did you last eat, and what?
Kai had to think hard to remember, and told him. He touched a button on the side of the fat cylinder, then two others.
Here's your schedule. For best recovery and performance in the meantime, you need to adhere to this. Now, and I mean immediately, one bread ration and one fruit pack. The rest I'll upload to your system storage.
But...
That's your hunger arguing with me.
He turned to the file of people moving the ration packs.
Bring me one of those.
At once, one of the men brought over a flat brown package. The medic ran his finger along a ridge on top. The package folded back. Inside were smaller packets, each with a picture label. Kai stared.
We had to rip those things open with kitchen knives, and it was a job. Nobody told us.
Sorry. Here.
He rummaged in the pack and brought out a sealed packet with a picture of fruit on one side and another with a picture of a round, flat object colored brown and cream.
Take these and eat them now, right this minute.
Clearly, this nut wasn't going to let her alone until she did, and she had a lot to do.
All right.
Kai opened the packets. She didn't feel that hungry, but she bit off a piece of the bread-like thing and squirted some of the semi-liquid fruit onto the rest of the bread. It was vaguely sweet and definitely tart. At least it wasn't Aunt Gracie Lane's fruitcake. She finished the bread, onto which she'd squeezed the last of the fruit mush. In the meantime, the medic had grabbed one after another of her crew, insisting that they, too, insert their fingers into his device. He came back to her.
The same thing in 2 hours. I'll still be here then, and I'll check on you. Now, I need to see the passengers.
Bemused, but already feeling more alert, Kai led him down to the holds and introduced him. Her heart twisted at the sight of the hollow-eyed, listless men and women who lay on their pallets. The medic checked them one by one, and behind him came troopers carrying ration packs, from which they dispensed squeeze packs of liquid.
They can have one every hour at first. These are also loaded with micronutrients. And then after the first 24 hours, anyone who's not having gut problems can move up to the Phase 2 rations, which include solids. I'd expect by the third or fourth day to move them to Phase 3. Could have been much worse. I've seen it much worse. You made a good decision back when you cut the rations early on.
Soon, the medic was finished with his assessment. Kai headed back to the bridge. There, the new communications gear had been installed, including a view screen that took up half the space between her chair and the pilot's. She finally had ordinary voice contact with the outside world. After days of spelling each message out laboriously, that was a relief, even with a Mackenzie trooper standing by the comm console to emphasize that the equipment belonged to them.
Colonel Kalin wants you to call.
Are the system ansibles up?
I don't know. The colonel...
wants me to call. I understand.
Kylara eyed him and decided that trying to claim the overriding authority of a ship's captain would probably not work. She would find out the most the fastest by cooperating.
Do you know the channel?
Yes, Captain. It's pre-entered. All the captain needs to do is press that button.
The trooper pointed. Kai pressed the button, and other telltales turned yellow, then green. In moments, a man's face took shape on the viewscreen. He wore the Mackenzie uniform and metal shapes whose significance she did not know on his shoulders and lapels. Gray hair cut close, a broad face, green eyes.
I'm Colonel Eustace Kalin. I'm in command of the local Mackenzie forces. You're Captain Vada, is that right?
Yes, I'm Captain Vada.
Captain, we have business to discuss, which would best be discussed face to face. I'd like you to come aboard.
Colonel, this is my ship, and the captain does not leave the ship, not willingly, that is, while in transit.
You regret our giving you emergency medical care?
Not at all, Colonel. I'm glad you did, and grateful for your surgeon's skill. But now I am healthy. My place is here, aboard my ship, until we are safely docked somewhere. My second-in-command was killed when some of the passengers attempted to take over the ship.
I see. In that case, we have been asked by the ISC to tow your ship back to orbit near Sabine Prime. I understand that you have no onboard power?
That's correct. The individuals who attempted to gain control of the ship caused the drive to malfunction, and we are out of fuel. However, I am not willing to have this ship treated as a derelict and subject to Wrecker's Law.
What would you do if we didn't tow you back? You have no FTL drive. You have no working in-system drive. Were you planning to get out and paddle? Do you really think you're in a position to make conditions?
All situations are negotiable. I could, for instance, hire you, myself, to tow us back.
You don't scare easily, Captain Vada. All right. With your permission, and not under Wrecker's Law, making no claim on hull or cargo other than that which we contracted with you to carry, will you permit us to tow you back to Sabine Prime near orbit, where we can carry on this discussion in a less public venue?
Thank you. I accept your offer of transport.
What we need to do, then, is let your engineering staff talk to my engineering staff about where to grapple on. Oh, I'm beginning to believe what Master Sergeant Pitt and Major Harris said about you, Captain Vada.
Kai had no idea what they'd said. What she remembered best were their comments on young women who harbored rescue fantasies and were too susceptible to young men. 3 hours later, the Glennis Jones was snugged up to the flank of a Mackenzie warship, and Quincy and her Mackenzie counterpart were deep in conversation with hull schematics. A score of pressure-suited troopers were going over the outside of the hull under their direction, applying some kind of test equipment to various points. Kai didn't have a clue what that meant. The medic had been back to the bridge to remind her to eat her bread and fruit mush. He reported that the passengers were all doing well, sucking down the liquid food packets as fast as they were allowed. Kai finally went to bed when she couldn't stop yawning. Only to wake a few hours later when her stomach lurched sideways and then up. She called the bridge.
Just an adjustment to the artificial gravity. We had a little trouble sinking our AG to the warships when they tried a micro jump with us attached, but that bled off a lot of speed.
What about our hull strength?
Oh, that's fine, Captain. There's no strain on the linkage. It was just the delta V surge of the double endem transition. Since you're awake, they wanted to know if they could do it again to save time on the way back.
Let me check with the passengers.
Kai struggled up, splashed water on her face, and called down to the holds.
How are they doing?
That gravity surge didn't help. Their guts aren't that stable yet. What happened?
Micro jump by your ship. They want to do it again.
Tell them to wait 12 hours.
Kai called back to the bridge and relayed that. Then she sagged against the headboard of her bunk. She was awake, tired, frustrated, and worried. 12 hours and 14 minutes later, the ship seemed to lurch again. This time, Kai had been able to warn everyone it was coming, and the medic reported that the passengers had come through without incident. Some of them were now eating bland solids. She had been given permission to try a proper breakfast, which tasted delicious. They came out of that micro-jump in close orbit around Sabine Prime. Kai looked at the scan when the screens cleared and felt her stomach clench on the breakfast it had earlier accepted. Prime's orbital station held several civilian ships, including Vada Transport Limited's Katrine Lamont.
What? What is that doing there?
I don't know. Last I heard, the cat was over on the Bueller Road route.
I knew they'd have heard, but I didn't think they'd be crazy enough to send a ship in.
Next scheduled carrier?
Not likely. When we were here before, I looked that up, and it was 4 months off, the Elaine of Galt. It only feels like 4 months.
The comtech waved at her.
Captain, you've incoming traffic.
Right. Kai sat down in her seat and prepared to grill the colonel to find out what he knew. But the face that came up was not Colonel Kalin. The dour, lined face looking back at her belonged to the captain of Katrine Lamont. She knew it all too well. When she'd been an apprentice, shipped out to experience the wonders of space and get her mind off what her mother called that military nonsense, Josiah Furman had been the captain of that ship, taking obvious pleasure in putting a Vata youngling to the nastiest and most boring chores. She'd come back more determined than ever not to be stuck in ordinary civilian transport. She couldn't think of anyone, barring her mother, she wanted to see less.
You've made a fine mess of things. You weren't supposed to be anywhere near Sabine. But then you never did follow orders.
That was unfair. She had followed many orders, many stupid orders, many boring orders. She had followed most orders, including his. She tried not to see the expression on the Mackenzie Comtech's face, just as the Comtech was very obviously trying not to look at her.
What did you think you were doing? First you make an idiot of yourself at the Academy, and then you can't even carry out a simple, uncomplicated voyage without getting the entire company in an uproar. Do you have any idea the profits you're costing us by this?
It was a pause, if not the pause she wanted.
Trade and profit. Vata captains are expected to take advantage of opportunities.
They're experienced captains. Captains who know what they're doing. You? I got pulled off my route with loss of early delivery bonuses just because you couldn't do what you were told and deliver that useless excuse for a ship to the wrecking yard. Because of you.
Kai was tired, hungry, grieving, and this was totally unfair. All those emotions tangled in her throat, and she could say nothing. Kai wondered if her father had told Furman to scold her this way. He hadn't scolded her about the Academy. That didn't mean he wasn't angry now.
My father...
Your father told me to come pick up the pieces and be sure you were safe. Pulled me right off my route, told me to skip two destinations, so I have to divert, load up your cargo, load your crew, haul your cargo to Belinta, that armpit of the region, before I can get back to my route and take you home. My customers will be upset.
You can't do that.
I don't want to, but your father said...
I mean, you can't take our cargo to Belinta. We have cargo there in storage for Leonora and Lastway.
Then it will have to stay there. I am not going to Leonora and Lastway, and neither are you. I've seen the reports. Glennis Jones will never make it out of the systems. I'll sell it for scrap here.
Kai's jumbled emotions had settled with anger on top, and at that moment she felt she could leap across space and remove his head without a weapon.
You will do no such thing. With repairs, simple repairs, this ship is quite capable of taking cargo to Belinta and beyond, and that is what I will do. I am in command of this ship, not you.
You're under tow. You can't even dock with the station, which, by the way, I understand you left illegally, without permission. Your ID beacon is transmitting the wrong data. They won't let you dock.
Furman smirked. On his big, heavy face, it looked particularly disgusting. Kai hadn't thought of that complication. The moment in which she had elected emergency undock over the possibility of being blown up with the station seemed years in the past. Hard to believe it only had been a few hands of days.
It was an emergency situation. Other ships also broke loose.
But not Vada ships.
You've damaged our reputation. You've cost us millions, and now you make excuses? Enough of this! Your father sent me out here to take care of things, and that's what I'm going to do. I'll sell the ship for scrap, transport your cargo to Belinta, and your crew back to a Nexus where you can catch a passenger ship home. Get your things and be ready to leave and...
Kai stabbed at the board and cut the connection before what she thought emerged from her mouth. Her vision hazed.
Well, that was interesting. He seems to think you're still a schoolgirl.
Kai tried to control her breathing, her face. It would have been so satisfying to throw something breakable at something immovable.
Apparently.
Who is that?
He was captain on the ship where I served my junior apprenticeship. We did not get along. To be fair, at 13, I was the typical adolescent brat and the youngest of my family. I'd been sent off because my parents thought I was spoiled, and they were right. But he did not help.
Meh, and they sent him to help you now?
Probably he was closest.
Kai hoped that was it. She hoped it wasn't an unsubtle message from her father that she had screwed up yet again, and worse.
Look, I really need to talk to home, to headquarters, about this. Is there any chance of getting an Ansible link-up?
Not for another couple of days, they tell me. You think this guy's going beyond his orders?
I hope so. And I hope he's wrong about the station refusing dockage. We have to get in there for resupply and repair.
I reckon ISC will have something to say about that.
ISC? Why?
When someone messes up their Ansibles, they usually hang around and pretty much run things until they find out who did it so they can punish them. And didn't you find that out?
I found out some. Not everything.
So ISC ought to be grateful to you. If they want you to get docking access, you will. Whatever Poison Puss says.
I hope so. I need to check on something. If he calls back, don't accept it.
What should I tell him?
Tell him I'm not discussing company business over an open line.
Kai wished she'd thought to say that earlier.